background, and so is Nicole. I got home, got no internet. So that happened last week, but we had some landscaping done. This is truly my backyard, because I'm in my backyard today. We had some landscaping done, and I think they cut my line. So they're coming out tomorrow to check that. So with us, we have Nicole Nark. I got to go this way. Hey, Nicole. Yeah. She's a new member of our team. Love to have her. Her channel is awesome. I'm trying to push as many people over there so you can subscribe to her channel. Check out those. Because most of the time when we have, you know, I look out for YouTubers such as Nicole, and I look for them to say, hey, you're doing a fantastic job with borrowers and letting them know programs and things like that. That's why on my channel, I switched to basically economics. So, Nicole, welcome. How's your neck of the woods? She's down in Arkansas.
Thank you. Yeah, very similar situation. I mean, I wish I was by the pool. Looks like your weather is a little bit better than ours is today. But yeah, very excited to be here. Great to go live again with you. And happy that we're going to make this a pretty regular thing. So very excited.
We'll get on here once a month to answer all those questions that you guys have. Nicole is, believe it or not, she's a YouTuber, and she actually is a realtor selling houses. She got boots on the ground. So many channels, you know, they're out there, they're preaching all this stuff. And then, you know, when they really talk to the realtors with boots on the ground, they find out a completely different story. So that's why I had Nicole. I reached out to her and said, love your channel. Love what you're doing. Would love to have you as a part of our team. And she accepted, she joined, and now she's doing what she does. So please check out her channel. It's fantastic. Nicole Nark. But Nicole, your viewers on here as well. So just how's the market? What are you seeing down there?
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty, we're still, sellers have the upper hand here for sure. We're low on inventory, as I think most of the South is right now. We're still kind of coming off this big boom to move to the South post COVID or even during. So things are moving fast for sure, especially those homes that are priced accurately. So yeah. I'm working with lots of buyers who are still in multiple offer situations. And it's fun on my end in a sense that it really opens up doors to have the conversations, to talk about the best ways to navigate through the process. And I honestly feel like starting with COVID and to today, buyers are so much more educated in the process because they have to be. And I'd say, you know, maybe that's a little uncomfortable sometimes when you are a buyer, it's a little bit more competitive, but ultimately, you know, it's a great time still to buy, great time to sell. There's really no strong upper hand, I'd say, nationwide, but different, you know, differences in each market.
Got it. Well, I talked to you and I talked to realtors up in the Northeast. I talked to a lot of people in the Midwest, the West, and it seems like, you know, there's some pockets that are bad. I mean, we're not going to sugarcoat those. There's sort of pockets that are bad, but the norm is what you're saying. You know, we talked to realtors, and I talked to somebody in Massachusetts. We got Rick Mahone out in Arizona. You're in Arkansas. I have, you know, clients out in California, and everybody's kind of saying the same thing. It's like, unfortunately, house prices are so high, but there's just nothing out there. So it's like everybody keeps sitting on the sidelines saying, I'm going to wait and wait. And when prices crash, I'm going to buy. You understand the markets. You know, when you have the demand where it is, even if it's somewhat low, but you have no supply, you know, I talked to one of your realtors. You have a house listed. And the selling agent called me to see how qualified the borrower is. And she's like, yeah, I got to get back to Nicole real fast because she needs an answer by 3 because she's got multiple offers. And that was another ding, ding, ding. It's like, so, you know, what's your thoughts? Because you mentioned a thing where it's like, you know, housing is pretty good right now. So you got boots on the ground. Are you seeing, you know, why do you think the inventory just isn't there? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it varies based on where you are nationally, for sure. I mean, when we were out in California, we were looking, and I mean, people are just staying put out there. Yeah. It's lack of building out there because there's just no land available. People are staying put because of the cost of homes, because a lot of people locked in a great interest rate a few years ago, and because they don't know where they would go. In Arkansas, we've got a good pickup on new construction coming, which will help. But overall, I think there are a lot of buyers who have been sitting on the sidelines who kind of realized, you know, it's just kind of time to pull the plug and go. I've got buyers who still haven't made a purchase who were telling me last year that this year was going to be better. And I think that as we've come out of those crazy COVID times, even with everything that we're in now, I mean, there would have to be something major that, in my opinion, would cause this crash or, you know, a huge turn in the markets. And I'm not seeing that. Of course, like you mentioned, there are markets that are getting hit harder. I had made that video on the markets where buyers kind of have the best opportunities right now are some of those markets that are getting hit harder, that boomed like crazy, you know, Austin, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona, because they got so hyperinflated in the peak of the pandemic. So obviously they are going to see the most dramatic, you know, reversion back to kind of this norm of, you know, a smaller amount of appreciation, I would say. But what the media likes to pick up is, oh, it's a crash.
On my YouTube, when I log into YouTube every morning just to check out all the stuff, the first 12 videos is just real estate crash. Crash is coming. Crash is on its fifth stage. Crash is this. Crash is that. So let me just real quickly, I'm going to go over briefly an economic, just some economic news. We're going to just capture like two or three of current events in the markets that you're seeing on mainstream media every day. Let's just kind of, what I want to do is just debunk them, I guess is the best thing I'll say. So the first thing you're seeing in the markets right now is the debt ceiling and how scary that is. And if they don't do it, you know, it's going to be catastrophic for everybody. The first thing I'll say, people, is it's just a bunch of smoke screens. It's going to be used for political reasons. It's going to be used for political votes. They have never, they've had over the last, I think about 50 years, they've had 70, I think it's one or 76 times they've increased the ceiling because the U.S. has never defaulted. So folks, even if they kind of go to the end of the line, it'll be resolved. So you'll make some investments or do what you need to do during those times. So that's number one. The banking issues, it's still completely blown out of whack and they're continuing to, you know, go down that bandwagon. So relax on that. And CPI numbers came in today. And those are the inflation numbers on the consumer level. They actually came down today and that was good for mortgage rates. Mortgage rates dropped about 1/8% today alone. So that's putting us in a nice little area. We're seeing rates right now about, it was crazy. Like, I want to say 4 or 5 months ago, we're quoting rates at like 7.25. I mean, I haven't seen 7 since way day. And now rates, we've quoted several today in the low 6s. So you don't think it's that big of a deal, but it is, you know? So that's what's going on the economic side. But I'm going to agree with you 100% on why people aren't putting their houses up for sale. This house is way too big for me and my wife. I'd love to sell. I have a 2.625 rate. I did finance, you know, a chunk of it because I'm like, with that cost of money, shit, I'll just invest the rest of the money. So, you know, even if I downsized, you know, I'll play the role of the existing home owner. I'm not going to sell. You know, you hit it on the head. Where am I going to go? I would love to move. You know, I got a place in Florida. I'd love to move down there. It's just too damn hot all the time, you know, and things like that. So I won't say stuck as well, but I'm fine with it. There's a ton of equity sitting right here. So the nice thing is I don't have to sell. And that's the biggest difference between now and 2008. So Absolutely. When you're, I know you sell and you surprised me the other day we were talking and you told me how many houses you close on in a year. I was astonished because, you know, I do a lot of research on the real estate side. The average realtor, even the average mortgage person does, you know, the average does maybe 2-3 loans a month. You know, the average realtor does, I think the last time I saw was like 3 or 4 closings a year. Girl, you do that a week. It's like, you kill it. So that was another reason that surprised me. It's like, and a lot of times when I'm trying to call you, text you, or email you, you don't answer. And I'm like, what is she doing? I know what you're doing. You're out there hustling. Yeah. So that's why
selling houses.
I love having you on the show. Yeah. I love having you on the show because you represent buyers and sellers. You have, I didn't realize you have a ton of listings too. So your environment is awesome because it's like, you know, and even for me to get a call from somebody that has you as the listing agent was like, Whoop. So that was kind of neat. So what's your day consist of? How do you, you know, when you have a new buyer, what do they come back with? And we'll get the questions here in a second. When a new buyer comes to you, what is, let's say, the top two or three things that they're mainly concerned about? Is it a crash? Is it rates or anything? Or what, you know, narrow that down for us.
Definitely, guys, comment any questions you have, and we'll answer those here soon. I would say a lot of it is, I probably get less economic questions than you would think on a daily basis. I think that probably stems from two reasons. One, being in Arkansas, our price point here is considerably lower. Like, our median price point is $212,000. So with that, we have a lot of younger first-time home buyers. Like, our home buyers may not even be out of college yet. So with that, it's a lot of, how do I get started with the loan process? How do I know what I can afford? What are the steps to buying a house? Of course, once you get, I'd say, more educated buyers, or maybe buyers who have bought before, then you get into the fun part of the economics and wanting to time everything and make the most financial sense. But I do a lot of just education on the process, you know, like where do we start to get you pre-approved? What do you need your income and your credit to look like? Then how is this whole process going to work? Lots of kind of hands-on coaching through the process, because it's always a stressful time. I'd say, like, even as a realtor who's bought houses, sold houses, you know, we build houses, it's always stressful. Even if you're in the industry, buying and selling is stressful. So when you're walking through that the first few times, there's a lot of hoops to jump through. And I really enjoy doing it, because I love, you know, walking people through it to the final closing table and seeing them put their spin on it. But yeah, I'd say those are the biggest things, is how do I get pre-approved? What does that look like? is a big one. And, you know, like, what is the overall process? How do I actually buy a house?
Interesting. Because a lot of, well, as you see on my channel, it's more economics and so forth. So I won't say it's probably a more seasoned home owner. I'll say they're homeowners instead of they're buying up or whatever, second homes and stuff like that, where you're in a completely different realm. And that's interesting. So without further ado, let's get down to some of the questions. That's why people are here.
Absolutely.
So you're going to have to read these. I apologize. I'm on my phone again. Is that okay?
Absolutely. I know we've got Penrit here says, hi, Dan, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? I know.
I think we're slow on questions. I don't know if we've had any other questions yet.
No, we've got
Christopher watching, who said, hello from Michigan. Oh. Hi, Christopher. Might be a little bit slow here for people getting on.
There might be a little lag too. It's weird. When I first started doing this, I was on here for a while, like talking, and I'm thinking, okay, there's nobody doing anything or whatever. And then I realized there's like a 5-minute lag or something like that. So it's interesting, because when you get some of those things, and then sometimes, I hate to say it, the chat bots, sometimes they just don't work. So if you guys are out there, please, what I'd love to know is where you guys are coming from. You know, we try to do this as late as we can. Obviously it's still light here, but it gets dark here pretty quick. And I wanted to include those on the West Coast so you guys can learn some things and ask the questions.
Absolutely. We did just get a question. It says, do you know of any programs for first responders, specifically nurses, for home purchases in terms of financing?
Yes, I do. Actually, we just got a physician's loan today. And then basically that program goes to, I forget that, you know the name of the actual program? Because there is a program for it. It's like Home Heroes or something like that. Yes, there is a program. Mm-hmm. What I'd suggest you do is, the best thing to do, honestly, is we have a link down below, and many times it's up top here, to schedule a calendar event. If you're on Nicole's channel, she'll have that down in the description. Go ahead and click that button. It's going to send you to her calendar or our calendar. you're going to be set up with a consultation with a one-on-one mortgage advisor that's going to walk you through all this. And most of the mortgage advisors are actually in my office and have access to me all day long. So they'll talk with me. They'll go over the scenarios that they can't figure it out. Even if they can figure it out, they'll usually come to me and say, just double check to make sure there's nothing else there better for you. So the best thing I say is, yes, we do have that program for you. It's a great program, as well as the physician's loan. Schedule an appointment down below or give us a call. Love to help. But yes, the program is available.
We have got it. Got the discounts for you. All right. Alex says, I was thinking about moving into a rent-to-own property. I have my own concerns. Do you recommend it, or should I go right for the market? This is one of the many options that are available to me. Ooh, I've got some thoughts.
Go.
So I think rent-to-own is a great option. There are a few things that you would want to be careful of. One, if you are signing a rent-to-own agreement, please make sure that you have an attorney look it over. Don't do any verbal rent-to-owns, because I have seen that go south so many times. I would say, from what I have seen and personally dealt with, rent-to-owns are usually great for people who maybe can't qualify for a loan one way or another. Like maybe you don't have sufficient credit and you're really wanting to get into a property. That would probably be a good route for you. In most cases, getting an actual loan and buying something rather than doing a rent to own will make financial sense, as long as you can qualify, because usually those rent to owns will come with like a little bit of a higher interest rate that you're paying, or maybe it's just a very small percentage. Like you're paying, let's say, you know, $1,500 in rent, only $50 of that is actually going towards like you buying the house. So there's a lot of technicalities that you really need to look at and be careful there. It's not, you know, just by default, like a great thing or a bad thing. Just be careful and know that you want to have anything that you commit to there definitely reviewed by an attorney, I would say.
Awesome. You smacked that one out of the park. Atta girl.
I have dealt with those.
I was just in Florida and I had a gentleman, he found out what I did and he's like, I need your help. He did the same thing. He did it under contract, the whatever, verbal agreements. He was there 3 years, rehabbed the whole place. The guy he was buying from died. His wife, the widow, kicked him out and said, too bad, selling the house. And he showed me pictures of all it. I mean, it was just a hole in the wall prior to, and it was really nice. And he's like, I spent my life savings on it. What do I do? I'm like, get an attorney, you know. But so yeah. I always do the same thing. Even when I buy a house, I don't know you, but about you, every house I bought, I got an attorney. I don't want to deal with that part of it. Even though I know the business, it's like, but great job. Any more questions?
Are you guys, we do have another question. Ethan says, are there inspection or appraisal discounts/grants available for first-time home buyers or other type of buyers? So are there any discounts on appraisals or?
I mean, some properties can get what they call a property inspection waiver. But that very rarely does that happen right now in today's market. So I don't know of anybody, you might find a lender that's giving you maybe $100 or $200 off or something like that. But everybody, here's how the appraisal system works, just quickly. We are not allowed to talk to the appraiser. We don't know who's doing it. I can't contact them or anything. So basically what we do is, once you're approved, we actually place an order through a management company, and then they bid out the contract, or they bid out the job to appraisers all over your area. And then they pick it up based on the price and so forth. So we don't know who's doing it. And I don't know of any discounts or programs that are out there that will pay for your appraisal, but again, there is, if we run your loan through Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac's websites, and all loans get through there, there might be a chance that you get a waiver, meaning you don't need an appraisal done. But again, that's few and far between right now. Were you going to ask me a question right before that question?
Yes, I was going to personally ask you if your state is a attorney state or a title company state.
Title company.
Okay. Yeah, we are too.
But everybody gets attorneys. And then, you know, most people think that the sellers have to or control the title process. That's not true. But attorneys aren't going to do that. They're like, you can't do a bifurcation or however they, whatever that word is, closing. It's like, well, yes, you can. I'm not going to deal with it. Well, because they're making a ton of money on that closing. Hate to say it that way, but sorry, folks.
Right. We've got another question here. It says, I was told by a real estate agent in Arizona that if I purchased a home not as my primary residence, that the financing is more expensive. I'm currently living in California, wouldn't be moving in right away.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's going to be either deemed, it has to make sense where you're going. So if you're not going to be moving in there, you know, usually you have some leeway of time getting there, but I'll answer the question directly. If it's a second home or an investment property, yes, the rates are higher. And on the rental or the investment property part, instead of putting down maybe 5%, you're going to probably need to put down at least 15 or 20%. So there's a huge difference there. Would love to talk to you because there are some loopholes around this and so forth. So if you want to reach out to us, we would love to try to help you get in there as your primary home. And that information, absolutely. I don't know, Kat, are you able to bring up, I don't know, it might be on the screen, where they had us schedule a calendar event. If you're on Nicole's channel, please do it there. Preferably do it on Nicole's channel if you would. But if you're streaming from mine, down below in the description.
We've had that popping up a few times here. I would say that is a big misconception that I navigate a lot dealing with people moving into Arkansas. Is mm-hmm. that same question where they are planning the move. Maybe they don't have employment set up in Arkansas yet. So then a lot of times lenders will want to say, okay, well, we could use your current employment wherever you're coming from. But that's going to, even though you anticipate that home being a primary residence, we're going to have to look at it as a second home for now. And I think that's something that a lot of people kind of are iffy on, and then they try to potentially, you know, make a move one way or another.
Here, the scary part, and I can guarantee it's happened to you. How many times have you gotten, you know, up to the closing date and the people got turned down because of something that should have been known back when they applied for the loan? One of them is exactly that. You're moving from, like, a perfect example, I was going to say, it has to pass the smell test. You know, if you live in a suburb and you have a huge house, are you going to then move down into the inner city in a non-desirable neighborhood and buy a 4-unit building that you're going to move into? Probably not. So if you're not experienced enough, if you got that deal, an unexperienced mortgage person would approve it because you're going to run it through the system. It's going to approve it. Everything's good. I got it approved. You send it in. When an underwriter gets it, they're going to, there's no way these people are moving there. They're going to turn it down. And that happens a lot.
Yeah. We do have another question here. It says, do you need to pay closing costs out of pocket or can you roll that into your loan?
Basically, it's out of pocket because let's just figure it out this way. Most of you are probably watching your first time homebuyers. You can get away in most cases with 3% down. So a lot of people think, well, I got the 3% down. I'm good to go. You're not good to go. Okay. You're going to need 3% down plus... it's really hard to say there's a percentage because, you know, if you talk to Nicole, she might say, well, in our area, it's 3% or 2% based on her home values. But then if you go out to California, where it's a $700,000-$800,000 starter home, your closing costs aren't going to be 2%. So I always try to say, anticipate about $4,000 or $5,000 in legal fees at the most, and then maybe another $1,000 or two. So you need your down payment money plus, let's say, $5,000 or $6,000. That should be pretty good rule of thumb, unless you're in California buying a huge house. Florida's expensive and title fees. So is Texas. How's Arkansas with your title fees?
We're very low. Yeah. Okay. And because of our lower home values here, it's usually like a estimate 3% and you're covered.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. In California, I mean, it might be $3,000-$4,000 in your title fees and you're buying a $900,000 home and it's like, you know, it's all relative.
Right.
But yeah, cool.
That was a good question. We've got another one here. It says, do you recommend getting pre-approved to see how much you qualify for before looking for a house or wait until you start looking? I've been doing the same thing, not knowing which way to look. Definitely get pre-approved first, because you shouldn't go window shopping for a house, right? There's a few reasons for that. One, we don't want to get your heart set on something that you wouldn't be able to buy. Two, it's a long process to find a home that you love. And at the same time, you have to imagine that we're also going into people's homes to look at them. So I know in Arkansas, a lot of times sellers will even want to know that you are pre-approved in order to approve your showing on their house, because they only want to pack up their dogs and leave the house for serious buyers that can actually make an offer if they're interested. So definitely even more reasons than that, you want to get pre-approved, start that process ahead of time, and it will make the entire home buying experience way more enjoyable and less stressful. That way you just know your numbers, because ultimately, especially if you're buying your first home, you may not know, you know, what a payment looks like on a $400,000 house. So all of that comes into light when you go through that pre-approval process. So if you're thinking about it, I'd say you're probably within the next 3 months or so, set up a time to do a consultation call with us, and we'll help you get that process started for sure.
Perfect. A lot of realtors call, actually, once you go to the house and you view it, maybe put in a contract. Like I was just saying earlier, one of Nicole's, she has a house for sale. We didn't even know that the buying agent called me. Yeah, the buying agent, no, selling agent called, whatever it was, to validate how good the client was and so forth. So that you need to get pre-approved before you really go out there and look.
Absolutely. Before you look is preferred. Before you write an offer, 100%.
Got it.
We've got another question here. When purchasing in an HOA community, is there a way to find out if there are any major assessments coming up? There definitely are. You would want to reach out to the HOA directly. Also, title companies usually are going to have that information as well. So both of those are who I point my clients to. And it's definitely important to consider. Arkansas as a whole, I don't know where you are. If you are still tuned in, let us know where you are. But Arkansas is very lax on our HOAs, but I know that is not the case in most places. So you definitely want to watch out for those and do your due diligence while you are.
You'll be back.
I'll be back. I promise.
You're back.
Okay. But definitely you're going to want to reach out and do your due diligence on the HOA while you are under contract and get the information that you need.
Perfect. I was waiting for some questions to come up for you. I'd rather hear you talk.
Well, we've got another one. Is there a difference in the amount of pre-approval depending on the state? I was pre-approved in Arizona for over $500,000. Would it be the same amount in California?
No. And the main reason is when you're qualifying, you probably are going to be okay. But the main reason is, like in Illinois, we have the second highest real estate taxes in the country. So not only are you qualifying for the home, the purchase of the home, the loan amount based on the home value that you're paying, you also have to include your real estate taxes, your homeowner's insurance. And if you don't put down 20%, you need what's called PMI. So you might have taxes in an area that are much, much higher than you are in another area. So I would just look at the real estate taxes. If everything else is very, very similar, you should be fine. But that would really be the only thing that should throw you off.
Yeah, definitely taxes and insurance would differ.
Yeah.
Good question, though.
I got squirrels behind me fighting in a tree. If you hear anything.
That question was from California.
Got it.
Everyone saw us lag there for a minute, but I think we're caught back up.
Yeah, caught back up. I don't know if that was me, you, or whom it was. I'm on my cell phone because I think we cut my cable and we have no internet in the whole house, and the family's going crazy because we don't have TV either. When's the last time you didn't have TV or like any Wi-Fi in your house? You go crazy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and everything runs on Wi-Fi now. So I think
else up
we're
there?
Caught up on our questions for
Come on,
right
folks,
now.
We can't be caught up.
I know so we need more.
So what can we talk about? Let's talk about, so you say most of your buyers, they're younger people. You know what we should talk about? Do you know, I got to introduce you to Catalina at My Loan Sense. Do you have a lot of borrowers or buyers that have student loan debt?
Definitely. Probably. Yeah. And I mean, in Little Rock too, where I am, is where all of the major, like UAMS, so the main medical schools here, we have like all the hospitals here. So we've got a lot of physicians, a lot of people coming out with significant student loan debt.
Here's one. If you guys are on my channel, it'll be down in the description. I'll get Nicole set up with this system. What it is, I know the owners of My Loan Sense. And while we're waiting for questions, let's talk to those out there with student loan debt. Even if you're not looking to buy a house, this is a system you need to look at. I sound like an infomercial, but here's how I found Catalina in My Loan Sense. We had a doctor. She was trying to buy a house. She was married with three kids. She was the breadwinner at this point. It was through COVID and all this other stuff. So now she's the breadwinner. She just got her doctorate degree. She's a doctor. She has $350,000 in debt. She's making about 80 grand right now while she's progressing through the system. So based on $350,000 in debt, most of the loan programs today require that, on your credit report, most of the student loan debt is showing a zero balance because you're in forbearance or the deferral period and so forth. So what's used is, in most cases, 1% of the balance. So let's take that young lady, $350,000 loan. So her payment on that would be $3,500, would be allocated as her payment when she's trying to apply to buy a house. Well, she makes 80 grand. That's what, 7,000, let's say 7,000 a month. She'd have 3,000 in student loan debt. She'd never qualify for anything. Well, we're like, there's got to be a solution here. So I was introduced to Catalina. We ran it through her system. This was back when. It reduced that based on five different deferral or income-based payment programs with the government already approved. We were able to get her into an approved payment plan. Came down to like $348 from $3,500. Now, one of the things I didn't understand either is, or didn't know, is after 10 years, whatever you have not paid, in most cases, it's done. You don't have to pay it back. So a lot of these too put you in an income-based payment plan for every year that you're doing. So you might go 10 years and still have $150,000 balance, and it's forgiven because you didn't make enough money to pay that back. So there's a lot of programs out there like that people just don't know about. So we partnered with her and was like, you could probably help one out of every three borrowers we talked to.
Absolutely.
So I'll introduce you to her and we'll get that going too. So you can maybe even, you guys do some videos and stuff like that, because it can help you with a lot of buyers.
For sure. Anyway,
the weather's starting to break. So in the trying to do these live events in the summer is kind of hard. So if you guys have any more questions, please. But what I'd like to know is where you guys are coming from. What do you do for a living? Why are you on here? Are you looking to buy a house, or are you just on here? Maybe you're a realtor, a loan officer. I talked to I reached out to a YouTuber. She's a young lady. She's a realtor as well. And she has some really cool videos. And I just, because I watch yours every day and Kyle's and everybody else, and I just said, hey, you did a great job on that. It was really cool.
I think we've got some more questions coming in here. Somebody wants to know, how much opportunity is there for negotiation on new builds? I would say usually not a ton. Most times builders price their homes where they want to sell them at. Of course, depending on how much new construction is going on in that area, they may come down a little bit because they may have competition and want to get things moving. That's also where we'll see like builder incentives come up. So you'll maybe see, you know, $10,000 to use towards blinds or fence or closing costs or whatever. I usually see more builder incentives like that than maybe reductions in purchase price, because usually when there's new construction going on, everyone's kind of already set that new price per square foot that they're trying to meet, because that's kind of the standard for the neighborhood. So definitely if you're trying to negotiate, look at some of those potential like builder incentives that you might be able to get.
Cool.
Let's see. We've got a question from Adrian who asks, is it possible to buy a home on SSI?
Yes. So SSI, she was talking about Social Security income. Absolutely. That is the, just think of that. That's probably the most secure payment you're ever going to get. You know, it's coming in on a daily basis. Don't worry about the debt ceiling. But yes, so when you're qualifying for a loan, when you have Social Security, in most cases, because Social Security is not taxed, we can actually take your monthly payments and multiply it by 125% to kind of boost it up to, because when you're applying for a loan, which used for your debt ratio purposes, and that's your monthly expenses divided by your monthly income, is your gross income. So because your Social Security is net, we multiply the amount by 125%, and that would basically represent what it would be if it were, you know, if it were taxable. So you can gross that number up by 125%, and that's what you would use to qualify for a home.
Absolutely. Ben has a question. He wants us to talk about down payment assistance. Maybe you could
do a video on this, didn't you?
Yes. I've got a few videos out on my channel about it. We definitely have down payment assistance programs available. So if you're interested in that, check out my video. You have our link. It's in both of the descriptions that we've got. It's popped up here. It's on the screen right now. Maybe, Dan, you could give us a little rundown on who, like, let's say someone comes to you with a loan app, limited savings overall. When would you say down payment assistance makes sense?
Honestly, I talked to two people today about it. I was like, my quote was, if there's no other way for you to get any money to buy a house, then let's look at the down payment assistance program. That's basically my comment. Because many times you're not going to get as much as you think you're going to get. And then what happens is here's the normal down payment assistance program. They'll give you $5,000. They're going to charge you $1,500 for that $5,000. So you're going to net $3,500. And then let's say today's rate 6.25%. The rate on that down payment assistance program is 7.5%. So it's like you're going to pay that back in multiples. So what we do a lot of times is, as long as you have some money, for example, we would go back to Nicole and say, okay, Nicole, we got this borrower approved and they do have the 3% down. They don't have anything else. So when you're out there looking, we need your help, because we need the seller to pay our closing costs. So let's say you're a seller and you want $250,000 for your house. Well, I'll come in and say, okay, I'll give you $255,000 and give us a $5,000 credit back. And that's perfectly legal. We're gonna use all that money to pay your closing costs. So there's simple workarounds. And there are some programs out there there's two programs out there that are fantastic. And they're basically, you walk away, there's no strings attached. The money was all yours and everything. It does come with a little bit higher rate, but most of the time these are FHA loans. So after you make your sixth payment, we can do what's called an FHA streamline. We don't need appraisal. We don't need to prove your income proof. We really don't need anything. Just prove that you made the last six payments on time. And as long as the rate is 0.5% lower at that time, we can basically just do the paperwork and get you a lower rate. So that's what we usually talk to people about. But that's a fantastic question. And we just hooked up with a bank that has, I think I sent it to you, the one that had basically every program imaginable in every state, every county. It was really cool. And it opened my eyes up to how much is out there. But, you know, when you really dive into it, most of them are just smoke screens.
Yeah. I definitely have a similar take where I'll tell people, like, if there's any other way we can swing it, let's try that way. I mean, it's awesome that down payment assistance exists, but usually if there's another way you can swing it, it's going to work out better for you financially. Andrew's got a question. He says, would I be able to get a loan with a builder's preferred lender to get the incentive and then refinance shortly after? Definitely. That is a possibility. Make sure that there's no prepayment penalty in there, but you should be fine.
And we've been telling that to a lot of people because they'll come to us and we're like, we can get you a 6.5 rate, and they're getting 7 with the builder's preferred lender, but they're getting $15,000. It's like, take it. It's free money. So I make a living by, you know, doing your loan, but I want you to get into a loan that makes sense. So I'm like, just take it. And then monitor the rates, watch our channels every day and whatever. When you see rates coming down 0.5% or 1% from where you are, call us. We'd love to help.
For sure. All right. We got another one. When should someone start getting prepared with getting pre-approvals and finding a realtor? My lease is up in October. Ooh, great question. I like to say probably 5 or 6 months ahead of time. It does depend on your market. But I always like to give extra time. I would say, especially with connecting with a realtor and finding out, doing your homework, like watching the videos that we put out so that you at least are making mental notes on whether your income and credit and all those things are solid, is going to help you for sure. Because you wouldn't want to wait until you're 3 months out and then find out, oh no, I needed to be working on my credit, or I, you know, had different things. I thought I could use my side business income. All those things need to be kind of considered on the front end. But definitely I'd say probably 5-6 months ahead of time wouldn't be too early. Would you agree with that, Dan?
Perfectly. I got a question for you. Here's the thing. We get this on almost every phone call. Do you have to pull my credit? Is that a hard pull? You're going to kill my credit score. Can you answer that for me? I guess my question is, do your borrowers, are they, you might not see it because you're on the you're looking for the house side of the equation. But I just want to bring it up while we were talking about some credit and things like that. Guys, when we pull your credit score is probably going to get dinged. If it gets dinged, between 3 and 5 points max. That's it. And you can pull credit for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, as long as it's in with mortgages. So as long as it's mortgage related, your credit score won't move at all. So many people, what I was getting at is when you said, we're going to have this backlash, is somebody's going to say, well, you got to pull my credit, then you got to pull it again, and you got to pull it again. Well, first of all, you can't really get pre-approved without pulling credit, and it doesn't affect you as much as everybody makes it seem. So that's why we're here, just to debunk a lot of the stuff that you think might be right, but it's not.
Absolutely. I'm one of those agents that puts value in like consulting with their clients. So I will talk through it all day. Like, there's going to be a credit pull. It is going to be okay, but it's necessary.
It's like, here's my analogy. You know, my car won't start, but you can't open the hood. It's like, well, right. I tell you what's wrong with it then. Is there gas? You know what I mean? So that's the point. You're not going to be able to get pre-approved or anything unless you get a credit pull. And it's not as devastating to your credit score as you think.
Absolutely. We've got another question here from Yomi, who asks, when will mortgage interest rates come down? Thanks.
Friday, they're going to come down. They're going to come down 0.5%. I am just kidding. I have no idea. And if I did, I wouldn't sitting in my backyard doing YouTube videos. I'd be a multi-billionaire off on an island somewhere. So you have a lot of people predicting this and predicting that and whatever. Let's change it from prediction to just completely guessing. You have Wall Street analysts that can't even get, you know, the jobs numbers right. So, you know, here would be my answer kind of to the question. The Federal Reserve should be done adjusting mortgage rate or adjusting interest rates. Okay. The problem we're seeing in today's market is there's a lot of illiquidity because there's a lot of bond offerings. Okay, so let me explain what I'm talking about. Mortgage rates are determined by a mortgage-backed security. It's a bond that trades on Wall Street. Okay, so it's in competition with treasuries, it's in competition with corporate bonds and everything else. What caused or what pushed rates down to the lowest level in history was quantitative easing, which meant the Federal Reserve was stepping in and buying these mortgage bonds. They were buying them at auction, okay, in the tune of $40 billion a month. Okay, so when you have a bond, you're buying and buying and buying. What happens is it pushes up the price. Because like anything, like we're seeing in commodity or prices of everything right now, the prices of everything is going up because we had a supply chain issues and all this other stuff. So we have the price of the bonds going up and up and up and up because the government's coming in, buying all the market up. What caused, then what happens with that is the prices go up, the rates come down. There's a flip-flop, an inverse relationship. So the Federal Reserve was buying and buying and buying. And that's why you have people on Wall Street and everybody saying, guys, you got to stop. You got to quantitative tight. So that's what that means. So right now what's happening is not a lot of people are buying mortgage bonds. So it's keeping the basically everything stagnant. And now the Federal Reserve is selling more and more bonds. That's called quantitative tightening. They're selling bonds into this illiquid market anyways, that there's a whole bunch of. Nobody's buying it. So what happens is to buy it, find a buyer, the prices are coming down because there's more competition. And that's what we're hoping with a lot of products. So the prices are going down. What happens in that? Again, flip-flop. It's causing rates to go up. So the Federal Reserve has $1 trillion, I think, on their balance sheet of mortgage-backed securities. So even when we see mortgage rates where they should come down even further, they're not because of that. But the good news is the Federal Reserve's pretty much done tightening. And they're gonna the expectations are in the futures market on the Chicago Board of Trade, they're expecting a reversal or a pivot in mortgage rates come September, that the Federal Reserve is going to now have to be forced to kind of, because we're going to hit a recession, they're going to be forced to pivot and start reducing rates. So I'm expecting Q4 of this year, rates are going to come down to the mid to high fives because of all this. And again, what is normal anymore? We don't know because we've never really had this happen ever in history.
Right. Whew,
that was long.
It was a good explanation, though.
I was going to say it was long, but it was good.
Okay, we've got another one here. Do you see the government program where they offer 20% down assistance in California coming back anytime soon?
No. It was an experiment in California. Why they did it, I don't know. Because I can guarantee you probably most of it went to people that could afford houses anyways and so forth. So, again, it's another program that, you know, they throw money at a problem to make it look good. But that program, it ran out of money in 10 days. So, you know, was it more of a PR thing? I think so. But I don't see anybody. That program, I came out the day it was announced, and I said, I would do this. I would take this program all day long. And people were like, that's crazy. And I'm like, no. And within 10 days, they used up the complete funds. So, no, I don't see it being established in any other states, nor do I see California doing again. But California is their own entity thing. So they kind of do what they want.
Absolutely. Christopher said.
We need Nicole questions.
Hey, that's okay. You're killing it. Christopher said he was not qualified earlier this year. Now, 2 months in after getting a job, I have been working with a higher weekly pay. Do I have a better chance to finally be approved?
The question I would have is, were you able to use that income? Were you there a long enough time for that income to be used? If that answer is yes, you've been there long enough, then absolutely we can qualify it on that higher income. So that's one we would like to do a consultation with you, because your information is pertinent to you. We don't want to divulge your income here and credit scores and all that. So please, if you're on Nicole's channel, go down below and schedule a consultation with us. And I hope Kat has up your Calendly links so they can go to your calendar. That would be easier.
Yeah, she's dropped it in a few times. Oh, cool. Got another one here. When married, do you have to apply for a loan jointly? My husband said since he's working part-time only at the moment and does DoorDash on the side, it may hinder getting a loan. You do not have to apply. Go ahead.
Well, some states you do. You have to include the you have to include their debts. So you might as well include them anyways, because the debt, you got to add that. There's only, I think, 7 states in the whole country that require that. So the generic answer to your question would be, here's why I analyze it. So if I'm talking to 2 people that are looking to buy a house, if one is, and I'm not trying to be rude here, folks, I'm just giving you the realities. If one person isn't working and has credit, like credit card debt and a car loan and all that, we really don't want them on the loan because they have no income to offset their debts. So it would make it look much prettier and you'd qualify much easier to not include that person. So that's how I would address that. But some states do require that both parties, all their debts be included. So if we're going to include the debts, we might as well include the person and the income if we can.
And keep in mind, if you have a spouse and they're not on the loan, they can always be added to title if you so desire. So it's not like you're owning the house without them per se.
Yep. Perfect. A lot of people have that concern.
Mm-hmm. John says, is Streamline a recast on a mortgage?
No. It is. It's when I'll reference it this way. We do the paperwork to get you the lower rate. It's a whole new loan. It's a whole new closing. There are some, I don't know on FHA if you can do this or not. On conventional loans, we can do any term you want. So let's say, for example, rates plummet this year and you bought your house in 6-8 months ago. And you're like, I really don't want to go back to a 30 year. We can put you on a 29 year or a 28 year or 28 and a half year. There are lenders that we deal with that have those programs available to us. You know, I should talk about what we can actually do. So just so you guys know, we are also a bank. So just for those out there that are looking for financing when it comes to properties, we're a federal bank, meaning we can lend anywhere in the whole country. Nicole is a partner in with us on this. And so we can lend anywhere in the country. So even if you're watching on Nicole's channel and you're buying out in California, please schedule a consultation. Love to help you. So that's what we do. We are also one of the country's largest mortgage brokerages. So we can do your loan in-house, or we have, and I counted it today, we have 65 lenders that we work with. Now that number was in the 80s about a year ago. This is how much consolidation and everything's in the market. So we still have over 60 lenders to choose from. We can use their programs and their rates. So, and we get wholesale rates. So I won't go any further with that, but we can be your lender anywhere in the whole country. And if you're looking to buy, you know, let's say you're looking to buy in Arizona and you're watching on Nicole's channel, well, reach out to her. She can actually help you find a home in Arizona, believe it or not. Yep. So these Absolutely. Are a lot of services that we offer for you guys that a lot of people don't know or don't even realize.
That's one of my favorite things, to get messages saying, hey, I've been watching your videos and I'm looking to buy in whatever state. Can you help? Yep. I love responding to
Absolutely
those.
Absolutely can help. Tell them how, well, you don't have to go through all the specifics, but how do you, let's say, for example, somebody calls me tomorrow and says, hey, Dan, I'm looking to buy in North Dakota. I don't know anybody in North Dakota. I may say, hey, Nicole, can you help them? What do you do? Because they can use you to buy in North Dakota, right?
For sure. So obviously I'm not boots on the ground in North Dakota, but I have tons of partners all over the U.S. who I can make sure to set you up with, take care of you. I wouldn't steer you wrong or put you in bad hands. What I want is for you to have the Nicole Narc experience with whoever you work with. So don't stress about, you know, having to go find someone. If you know and trust us, we can help you get connected with someone who can walk you through for sure.
So financing, we'd love to help you. And if you're looking for a house in an area you just don't know anybody, reach out to Nicole. She'd love to help.
Absolutely.
I just want to, that sounds like a promo, but we have to talk about that. Just letting everybody know what we do.
Yeah, we're here to help.
Yep.
We've got another one here saying, are you planning to talk about the Little Rock, Arkansas market too? I certainly can. I love seeing people tune in from Little Rock. That makes me so happy. I touched on it a little bit in the beginning, but we are still low on inventory in Little Rock. So it's starting to see a transition period to where the homes that I would say are average or maybe a little bit overpriced are starting to see more days on market. We're starting to see a few price drops on those. So there's opportunities, yes, but the most desirable areas, the cutest homes, they are going very fast with multiple offers. So this just kind of reiterates the fact that anyone that I'm working with, which I've got the capacity, so if we haven't connected yet, for sure reach out. We're setting up a game plan still on the front end. We're locking down financing. We're talking about your must-haves so that we go in strong and can get you the home that you really want. Because we are still in that time frame. I'd say it's not impossible to negotiate something like a seller paid closing cost, but what I'm telling my clients is that's going to have to be on a case by case basis. I can't promise it to you because we're going to have to make that decision as we see competition on the homes that you're interested in.
I got a question for you. How in your market, how is the rents compared to what a payment would be on a house that somebody would buy? Is it fairly comparable?
The rents are higher here. Mm-hmm. It's cheaper to buy a house. Like that was one of the big reasons why I bought my first house is because I was paying almost $1,200 for a one bedroom apartment, and then my first house, it was a two bed one bath house, and my payment was like $700.
That's why I bought. I was in Chicago and I had the money at the time years ago, and our rents were going up like $200-$300 a year. And at that point, you know, you're paying $1,000, then it goes up $200. That's 20%. You know, then it went up another. So we finally got to the point, it's like, it's cheaper just to buy a darn house. But so many parts of the market isn't. So your market should be just basically, I hate to say it this way, kind of a no-brainer. Why would you not? And then even if the market does come down a little bit, rent the darn thing out, you know?
Yeah. And Arkansas is very stable. So we don't see, you know, insane appreciation. Like we'll probably see at most a 3-4% appreciation per year. But at the same time, like the values hold. Like we don't see them come down either. So it's really an interesting market. It's kind of protected of the waves that you see in other places.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that. But that mm-hmm. you don't see a lot of places in the country right now where buying a house is cheaper than renting. So like I said, in your area, it's kind of a no-brainer. You see the other areas that it's like, I get it. You got to rent. I mean, you'll never be able to, you can't, you know, a lot of younger people will call from Southern California and it's like a starter house is $600,000-$700,000. It's like, are you kidding me? But then they start telling you the rent and it's like, well, I don't have the solution for you. You got to move or something because your income isn't, basically all you're paying is, I had a friend that lives, his son lived out there. He's paying, I think, $1,800 a month for just a room in a house. And I'm like, that is crazy. Oh, well.
Yeah, it's a reality for a lot of people. And I think that's why I never take the perspective of preaching like it's always best to buy or it's always, you know, it never makes sense to rent because it's just not the case. Depending on where you are and your finances, it might make more sense to rent. So we got another follow-up question here. It says, hi, if a household income is $107,000, how much would they be able to qualify for if your credit score is upper 600s and you have low debt? I think that's another one that we would be able to answer a lot better with a consultation call because it's definitely, we're going to need to know more about what those debts actually are, how much they are. And then two, it's influenced, like you said earlier, by taxes, insurance in the areas.
Yeah. So there are some channels out there that go through it and they're like, okay, you make this, let's figure out how much you can afford. The tough thing there is, you know, you might not think you have a bunch of other debt. You might even consider, like, for example, you might have $100,000 of student loan debt and not think, well, that's really a debt. It is. Your income might be commission-based, but, you know, we can only use a portion of it or so forth. So not trying to avoid the question, but would love to have a one-on-one consultation with you to talk it through, you know, because it would take us a half hour to go through it here and we don't want to you know, have everybody else sit through there. That might be a video we should do, is just have somebody come on and just give us all the specs, and we sit there and talk people through, you know, how you would look at, you know, figuring out how much they might qualify for, and me as well, and then just see how that works out. But please schedule a consultation or give us a call. We'd love to go over those. You can actually just tell us, you know, some basic stuff, and we'd say, okay, yeah, you should qualify. But just for an example, we had a loan approved today for a veteran. The debt ratio, now don't shoot us, but the debt ratio is 65%, okay? But it approved it, okay? The person can't afford it because they have additional income and so forth, but you might say that's nuts. Well, 65%, you can't get that anywhere else. You can't get it on FHA. You can't get it on USDA. You can't get it on any other program. So if you're a veteran and you make that much money, you might qualify for that much money. But if you're not a veteran and your debt ratio has to be under 50, you might only qualify for X. So, yeah, please schedule a consultation. Love to help.
Absolutely. I think Alex had one, said, I signed up for Credit Karma 2 months ago, and my credit score is at 686. It has been like that for the past 2 months. Is it normal that it's staying like that?
You know much about credit?
I do. Well, and Credit Karma is an okay tool. I would say it's not the best in monitoring your credit. And I also know that different plans that they have allow you to see and not see certain things and get updates at certain times. So there's a lot that could be going into that. Let's see. We talked about Little Rock. I know we're right about an hour.
Yep, I was.
We had another.
Let's go. More pre-approval question. That, and then we will sign off.
Yeah.
Stay with us, folks. It might be a good one.
It says, we'll do about 10 minutes more. So drop your last few questions in here. I got pre-approved, but when looking back over my job history, I was unemployed for 4 weeks, so not a solid 2 years of employment until June. Will underwriting not approve my final application?
You should be okay. So, usually when you're looking at extensions, you're looking at months. You know, why did it take you 6 months to, you know, get back to work? You know, it's common to get a new job, take a couple weeks off, and then start the new job. So you shouldn't have any problems.
I think 4 weeks should be just fine. We have a question here that says, when I use the calculator, should I add in my gross amount?
Yes. There's some tools we need to get on your description page. We'll have Kat work on that with us. Because there's actually credit scoring systems we have and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Does PMI apply for the entire length of the mortgage? On FHA.
If it's an FHA loan that you did not put more than 10% down, it'll be on there forever. If you put 10% down or more, it'll be on there for 11 years. And then if it's a conventional loan, it depends on how much you put down, but it's usually on there from about 7 to about 10 or 11 years as well.
Yep. Christopher said he's going to be sending me a message. Sounds good, Christopher. I'll be on the lookout.
Cool.
And then we've got our educated viewers tuning in saying PMI will apply for the length of the loan for FHA loans when you put down 3.5%. Good job. I mean, we should retire, Dan. They've got it.
Well, the cool thing is when you start seeing people chatting on the side that are actually like having conversations, that's so, to me, it's cool. I mean, it's because like everybody, we're just a platform here. Honestly, guys, we don't do YouTube for a living. Nicole sells a ton of houses and we actually close a lot of loans. We do this just as a kind of a, I won't say a courtesy, but just because there's so much misinformation out there, especially, you know, Nicole works with a lot of younger buyers. And here's the best thing I can end it with on this is you don't know what you don't know. So reach out to us. We'd love to answer any questions that you have. But what we also are going to do is saying, well, okay, I answered all your questions, but here's a couple more you might want to really ask me. So let's go over those. So that's one of the things we try to pride ourselves with, too, is kind of giving you even the ideas that you didn't even think of to say, you know, here's that. And then like Nicole says, you know, what's your process with your buyers? Pre-qualified, and then you sit down and educate them.
Yeah. We have a whole consultation, talk through what can be expected in the process. So we definitely are here to help. It doesn't just stop when the live stream stops. So we appreciate it. We're getting all sorts of loving comments about us and the content. It's appreciated. So thank you guys so much. I did see a quick comment that popped up that was asking for some clarification on construction loans. And I just wanted to say that I've got some more construction loan content coming out soon. So check that out. I don't want to jump too far into that here, but we'll do that. And then another one that said, do you guys do underwriting for no credit score?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's unique. You're going to need a little more money down. But yeah, we can help you. But there is a difference between no credit score and no credit also. So if you're watching from my channel, please check out Nicole's channel. Nicole Nark, fantastic channel. Tons of it. How many videos do you have up?
Ooh, I don't know. It's a good question. I've been at it.
You ever see your count? I went over like 2,500. I've been doing this for like 10, 11 years. Before it was even Vogue, I would just come in here and ramble like I do. If you're coming from my channel, please check out Nicole's channel. If you're here, you didn't get your question answered, please, if you would, down below, either give us a call, schedule an appointment, and don't forget, we're here to help you with all your buying needs. If you're looking to buy a house, Nicole can help you find that house. And even if you're not in Arkansas, she can help you with a realtor. And we can also help you with the financing of that to get you pre-approved. So until next time, thank you so much for joining us. And Nicole, it was a pleasure having you again, as usual. And
thanks for doing this. Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I appreciate it. And any additional comments you guys have, either comment them in our comment section on the videos, send us a message. We'll get to you for sure.
Thank you much. Kat, go ahead. Cut us off.
Have a good evening.